What up? What up? What up?
What up?
It's been so long since we've been back, but we are back.
We are.
It is your boy, Short in Person, here with my main man, Handsome
What
Shrek.
up?
Shit.
Hell, it's been so long, we almost got to see the troop make it to the Super Bowl.
Almost. But
Man.
that's what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the championship games from last night, the AFC championship game, which pitted the Kansas City Chiefs against the Baltimore Ravens, and the NFC championship game, which had Detroit Lions versus the San Francisco 49ers. And spoiler alert, Shrek just gave it away that Detroit did not win that game.
You know, Taylor Swift greased enough pockets. Eminem did not,
She
apparently.
didn't want no parts of Eminem. But hell, let's get into that game first because Detroit jumped out to a 24-7 halftime lead,
17 points, man.
17-point halftime lead, and it was all erased in about 8 minutes of the third quarter. What the hell happened?
Good writing. You know, again, the NFL writers, they just kind of mimicked what the script was supposed to be.
Okay.
First half supposed to look so crushing and so bleak for both the Baltimore Ravens and for San Francisco, your two number ones. And in both cases, the script was written, hey, amazing comeback story.
Right.
Make it happen, make it look real, and if it doesn't happen, you know, make it close. And San Fran, they took it a little bit too seriously, and it happened way too quick. They're like,
Yeah.
oh
Oh
shoot,
boy. Wait.
oh
Uh-oh.
yeah, and that's why they had to let Detroit at least bring it within three.
Wow. It was an interesting game, of course, because again, Detroit came out on fire. Take the opening kickoff, go down and score, I think in four plays or something
It
like
was
that.
ridiculous,
Yeah.
yeah.
And so immediately you get the thought that okay, so they've been the hot team in the NFL for the last 5 6 weeks anyway. Maybe this is their time. Maybe it's their time to go to the Super Bowl. They've already proven that they can beat the Chiefs, and we knew that's who they were going to be up against. So you were thinking, oh, okay, maybe we will get that Mathers versus Swift Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know Marshall would have been out there with Usher.
Yeah,
They could walk right on out.
it would have been perfect.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then Swiftie would have been coming in from the Japan and then dropping in on the field. Yeah, I think that's what my sister was saying. Oh no, she has a concert in Japan.
Yes, that was the original reason why she couldn't do the halftime show. Because remember, that was the whole thing. They wanted her to do the halftime show first. And then somehow, right after that, it was leaked that her and Travis were dating, which, okay.
Shocker.
Right. We'll get to them though.
I mean, the turning point, the writers are good. They try to recreate classics that can never be really repeated or done organically ever again. Like the helmet catch and the Patriots Super Bowl against the Giants.
David Tyree, I think it was. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you had. And I'm talking both games. You have
Sure.
parallels where, oh, falling on his back and catching the ball for a first down in the game.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you don't have to fall down, but whatever. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a spectacular catch. It was, like, literally, even the commentators, Tony Romo was like, that was a nice catch. But then you do have little magical plays that happen organically, like Ayuka or whatever, with the bouncing it off and him still being able to catch it. Like those are the type of plays that you can't fake, but you're like, man, come
Some of the other
on
things you think are fake.
now,
You know, we like to make jokes and
come
make fun of the NFL being scripted and things like that. But sometimes you look at some of the plays and some of the calls and non-calls that happen during the game, and it's just like, you know, you can say all day that the shit's not scripted and it's not for entertainment purposes, like WWE. But then you look at some of them, it's like,
it's listed as entertainment.
Right.
They are filed as an entertainment service.
Right. Yeah, that's for tax evasion, shit like that.
Yeah. But somehow, some way, Vegas always makes their money.
Vegas does. And made a lot of money off of me this year with my missed parlays. So.
And you always miss by one.
It's always one.
I'm sorry. Look, you have all these contract bonuses at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
I don't care. They're getting paid. If you go ahead and throw for 149 yards and just go on under for the over and under, we'll give you $1 million. Hey, you're rushing. You need to get over 125. Lose like 3 yards at the end of the game. it happens all the time.
You got the fixes in.
Oh, yeah.
It's mafioso style.
If Vegas couldn't make money on it, they wouldn't be allowing you to bet.
I mean, you have a valid point there. Let's roll into the game that we're most concerned with, being residents born and raised here in Charm City.
Taylor Swift versus the Baltimore Ravens.
You know, when the game started, Ravens get the ball, immediately go 3-and-out, and thinking, okay, isn't the best way to start. Then, you know, punt the ball to Kansas City, who immediately go down and score a touchdown. Threw, I think, two or three balls to Kelsey, who 11 for 11, 116 yards and a tutty. You know, I always make the joke that the Ravens haven't covered a tight end since they were the Browns. So we're 28 seasons into not being able to cover tight end, which is absolutely hilarious. They initially started the game with Hamilton covering Kelsey, which we thought was a great matchup. Didn't quite work out.
Has never let up a touchdown to a tight end all season.
Right, until yesterday.
Yep. Those NFL writers, they're really
bad. They know how to do it. But we did notice that in the second half, they definitely changed things up. And Hamilton was all over. Hamilton is...
He's something special.
He is something special. And it's funny to see him out on the field because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Like, tall and...
Yeah, he looks like how football players used to look.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And he plays...
Yeah.
Like how football players used to play, yeah. You know, all hustle, all heart, going 1,000 miles per hour.
Yep.
You know, and it's a pleasure to actually watch him playing. And you can see how things changed in the second half. They held them scoreless. Baltimore held Kansas City scoreless for that entire second half. Now, by the same token, they didn't score for 3 points, but.
Two fumbles in the going in first, or two turnovers going in.
Yeah, forward. Yeah, and there was some boneheaded plays, definitely on both sides of the ball, for the Ravens. Definitely did not have to throw that interception. We can also say that there was some pass interference on that play, but
it wasn't called all game for at least the Ravens,
right? Right.
But you're never going to get it because let's look at it. The officiating crew was switched a week prior to the game starting.
Switched?
They changed it up. The original officiating crew was a crew that heavily favored the Baltimore Ravens because they had officiated the Baltimore Ravens a lot all season.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, more so than ever in the past, it felt like during regular season, Baltimore did get a lot of good, favorable calls throughout the regular season.
That is amazing after 28 seasons.
So, yeah. But the officiating crew that they brought in never officiated a championship game before. Statistically, because of course you watch all of the things where people are trying to tell you betting strategies.
Of course.
They, in an overwhelming majority, call penalties against the home team, and it actually, that officiating crew has a road team win percentage of like 68% or something like that. So let's go ahead and shift it a little bit to give Kansas City the edge.
And they certainly got it. Some of the things the taunting call on Flowers. Where do you stand on? I could see it being called, but I could also see it not being called, which we've seen a thousand times before, which we saw a lot yesterday from Kelce.
Yeah.
So
well, that's the thing, is you have to be consistent.
Right.
Kansas City taunted pregame through the whole game.
Right. This is true.
And not a single call.
Right.
And so you can't do that to a rookie who the guy was trying to break his ankle.
Yes. He really was.
And it wasn't a let me push you down. It's hey, get off me.
Get off me. Yes.
And he celebrates like that all the time.
Every time he catches a big
spins
catch.
Spins the ball and does his little
yes.
thing.
Yes. Was it his fault the guy stayed on the ground? I mean, get your ass up and get on, you know? But then, you know, if you look at it the other way, it was his fault for doing it right there. What if he had turned, you know, his back to the guy and did the same thing? Would that have been talked? But I also look at it like every time someone makes a first down, they jump up and give the first down sign. Isn't that taunting? You know, whenever they make a turnover, they run 1,000 yards down the field to the other end zone to celebrate. Is that not taunting? You know, at what point, where does it stop? Where does it go, you know?
Just enough to influence the game.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah. So pick and choose. Yeah. That's always...
There's holding in every play.
That's right. And then we flash forward, fast forward, head to the end of the game when Roquan Smith got that random...
Which was...
Unnecessary roughness.
Which... From a penalty standpoint, originally,
it was brilliant. Great. It was great. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, no lost time.
Hey, five yards. Go ahead. Let's go. And then we can rock and roll after that.
I mean, the acting done by, what was it, a guard or was it a tackle? I don't know. He did 5 backflips.
Yeah.
He kept on rolling down the field. I'm like, are we playing soccer now? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. It was a lot of weird stuff. But I think if you go back and you look at it and you say, hey, you know, the Ravens had a lot of bonehead mistakes, those unnecessary roughness, personal fouls and things like that, the taunting. And I think it all stemmed from when Kelce messed with Tucker at the beginning of the game. And so on one hand, I think if I'm a KC fan, I'm thinking, well done, Travis. Well done. You got in their heads before the fucking game even started. When you were out in shorts and t-shirt, you were already in their head. So those are the things that you kind of sort of should look at.
Yeah, but the perspective of, and granted, I get it. There was a lot of the penalties that were called blatant penalties.
Right.
Like the left hook. Taking off Mahomes' head. Hilarious.
Decapitate that man.
do it again. There's only 15 yards. That's great. Let's do it again. But it's because of the frustration of being taunted the entire game.
Yep.
And no calls being called your way.
Right.
I mean, you get this these tic-tac fights. And literally a guy just comes and he's like stands up and, oh, his helmet touched Kelce's. Oh,
yeah.
Throw the flag. Right. It's like, give me a break. Right. And it's that kind of stuff. And that's where, again, officiating crew can influence even the player's reaction.
It can. And also, that is a team, the Chiefs. That is a team that slowly but surely, we may not have been seeing it as it's been happening. But if you look at it now, they are exactly what the Patriots were for fucking 20 years.
You can go back in our old podcasts. And
please do.
And please do. Listen to them. I've already told you my theory of the bigger picture script. Like, so the MCU, like, hey, we already know how we're going to get to Endgame.
Yep.
Well, guess what? Tom Brady was on his way out. They had to create a new golden boy because the NFL needs to prop somebody up.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes fit that mold.
Slid right in.
And that's why they were like, well, let's go ahead and give him more rings, because no one can ever touch the GOAT for what he was, because he played in a real sport, not this entertainment sport. and they're trying to say, hey, look, Patrick Mahomes now has three rings after this year.
And oh, wow. You've already gotten them winning next week? Or in 2 weeks?
If Vegas, here's the thing. Kansas City is one of the 19th against the run. McCaffrey should have 400 yards rushing.
It's a strong possibility. However, the Ravens were the number one rush team in the league.
And we run around the ball 4 times. So it depends on the NFL says, hey, you're not allowed to run the ball.
You're not allowed. No, we're not having that. We don't do that here.
So in 99 out of 100 times, San Francisco wins the Super Bowl in this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be the one time where I can see them going, they got to balance it. They got to really look at it and say, all right, how many more years do we think Mahomes is going to be in the league? We don't want to go ahead and blow all of our eggs too quickly here. You want to stretch it out so towards the end of his career, he's like, just needs that one more that tie. One more. And then will he come back to try to beat it? And you don't want to, like, oh, well, Mahomes has been playing for 7 years and has six rings. And there you go. It's done. He's the new GOAT. And that's what it is.
It would be interesting because so Brady has seven, mm-hmm. right? And so if we give Mahomes his third after this season, I think they may be tied
from a pacing standpoint
for the same amount after six seasons mm-hmm. in the NFL, which would, you know, I guess, you know, at that point Mahomes would have to pay another 14 in order to get those other four. Which is a strong possibility, you know, if you keep that core team intact and
you keep the officiating crews
intact. One of the things that was deemed to be a weakness for Kansas City all throughout the season was defense, and they certainly showed up here in the playoffs.
Again, it's all about narratives and storytelling. Look at last year. Oh, Mahomes. He was going to take a piss and he hurt his knee and ankle, and he's been playing injured. Well, I can't believe he stepped into that throw with his injured ankle, quote on air quotes, for all you listeners.
Air quotes.
And then you had now Kansas City, they write them up, they're done. They don't have any wide receivers. Their wide receiving corps is dirt. The defense is dirt. And then you saw right at the end of the season, they start talking about Kansas City. It's like, and one of the weirdest, like, commentary. I think it was last game of the season. Who did they play last game of the season?
This year?
Yeah. I think it had impact. They were playing
probably one of, was it the Raiders?
No, it might have been. Who did they play first round?
One game.
Cincinnati?
No. Pittsburgh played Buffalo. Miami. Yeah, because it was the coldest game.
So it wasn't that game. So it was the regular season. I think whoever they played, they started talking. I was watching the game, and I don't watch Kansas City games because I just despise Mahomes.
And they're on all the time. So.
But the commentator, like, man, what you see here in this defense, and it was nothing but bad calls where it was like a rinky-dink, like, holding call and some offensive pass interference. Are like, you're starting to see that championship caliber defense. This team may be lining up to make a Super Bowl run. And it didn't match what the game was actually playing through, but they want the sound bites during the actual season and try to put that in people's head. Like, these are the defending champs mm-hmm. returning to the form. And it's mm-hmm. just like, no.
It's no different than what we see with all the so-called great assistant coaches who, he's definitely in mm-hmm. line to be a head coach. Says who? Yeah. Like, where does that even come from? So now I think the biggest loser from the Kansas City going to the Super Bowl this season is Eric Bieniemy, because he wasn't the freaking offensive coordinator, went down to the Commanders, and now is out of a job. He's still doing his whole interviewing like he's been interviewing for the last decade.
Yep.
But now it's like, well, you probably really didn't have anything to do with it because they're back in the Super Bowl without you. So he's probably the biggest loser from the Kansas NFL City. From the script.
But, I mean, long and short of it, there's certain plays you can't fake. And I do think the Ravens were intended they were in, the original intent was they were going to come back and win that game. It was written that way, but you can't make a defender not try hard. And that fumble for some Flowers going into the end zone, there you can't fake that. You can't act that. That was a hard play by a defender.
That was greatness on all ends.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as we criticize a lot of the play calling that the Ravens had yesterday, it was weird.
Yeah.
That play call at that time was great. The effort to try and get into the end zone was great. You come up 2 to 3 inches short and you get the ball punched out from somebody who, again, is playing hard, playing through to the end of the play. Everybody, every aspect of that play, all the players were playing to the top level of their ability. Now, and it just so happened to come out on Kansas City side.
You can tinfoil hat this, though.
Okay.
And from a weird perspective, these guys are the top athletes in the world. Like, these guys are superstars no matter what they would do.
Absolutely.
You tell these guys, hey, anytime going to the end zone, throw that ball out there. Defenders know they're going to be throwing the ball out there, try to punch it out. Because it's weird that the last two games, one that benefited Kansas City, one that hurt Kansas City, there was a fumble into the end zone for a touchback that the NFL is now putting out on social media. So we get rid of this. And it's just like just trying to stir controversy and stir like little nuances. Like, I can't believe it happened again. It's like once, okay, twice, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's like
if it keeps happening, then something's
up. And why is your social media, NFL, populating these polls of should we get rid of it? And why is it now all of a sudden happening in every playoff game?
It's you know, when you sit back and look at a lot of these things, it can make you go, the fuck is going on?
I mean, how many people lost parlays probably that had Flowers or two touchdowns? A lot of money made.
His one touchdown was fucking phenomenal.
It was one of the best. I said this to everyone around me. I was like, what you witnessed right here, this play, for Flowers to have a touchdown, Lamar to escape, all that pressure, it's either going to be remembered as one of the greatest moments in this playoffs, or it's going to be forgotten and lost to history if they don't win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be forgotten.
It'll be forgotten unless they make it back to a championship game and ultimately to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because then it'll be run and rerun and rerun and rerun. You know, another thing, just thinking about what we talked about, how, you know, scripts were written and how things change. A lot is being said of Purdy and his Mr. Irrelevant because he was the last person drafted. To me, I think none of that matters. That says more about GMs, front offices, you know, for all these teams that can't find a competent quarterback, to have this guy almost be an undrafted free agent. Now, you'll probably have some other teams that say, hey, you know, we were hoping that we could get him as an undrafted, but you didn't want to spend a rinky-dink little dumbass seventh round.
They wanted to draft another kicker just in case.
Just in case. So to me, all of that it just doesn't even. I don't believe it is that much of a. I don't believe it's that much of a great story.
Oh.
As if a person has talent,
mm-hmm.
and he can play. Now he's taking his team to the fucking NFC Championship game 2 years in a row.
Yep.
Clearly, he's a talented quarterback. It's not his fault. 256 other players were drafted ahead of him.
But, you know, again, they're trying to rewrite and recreate some of the greatest moments of football of the NFL, which, hey, what was Tom? How many people were drafted in front of Tom Brady? They try to write the same narratives, but like, hey, we're going to what Spider-Man? Let's rerun it. Let's make it again so all the younger kids have a new Spider-Man.
Right. Right.
It's the same thing.
It's a fucking story.
But they try to take the same element.
Yeah.
And it's just like bad writing. Like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, whatever writers are still on strike, bring them back and have fresh ideas. No one's creative anymore. It's like, okay, Tom Brady has a lot of rings. Let's give Mahomes a lot of rings. But Tom Brady's great. So, oh, he wasn't drafted. You know, let's go ahead and give Purdy some influence over here. You know, what was really fun and exciting? Michael Vick was very fun and exciting. Lamar, that's you. You're in. You're next.
I think you're onto something, because now we'll look at Josh Allen. He's going to be the Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, Josh Allen is finally going to get over that hump, get a ring with Buffalo.
Yep.
Then he'll end up going to, like, you know, he'll fuck around and be the next quarterback in Kansas City, because Mahomes will retire early and just chill out on that billion-dollar mansion.
Well, no, you see, you know who I see as the Peyton Manning? C.J. Stroud's going to be the Peyton Manning.
Ah.
You know who I see? What's it? Allen is the Philip Rivers of this.
Oh, Shaput Rivers?
Rivers. Because it's a team that weirdly, like, we're going to run like LT, but we're also going to pass and just be dynamically good all around, but we're never going to win.
We're never going to. Yeah, well, I mean, that's also the Chargers. Well, that's what they do.
That's exactly what they do. And then you have Burrow, who's going to be your Big Ben. He's eventually going to get a Super Bowl. And you want to keep that in this, the AFC,
yeah,
the same division where it's like, oh, we got the new Big Ben.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. He's tough.
I like it. I like the way you're thinking. So I guess the question is, do you see Lamar Jackson get?
Sadly, I do not. I think he will potentially make it to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to end up having the woes of, can a rushing first or a rushing strong quarterback ever really win the ring?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be fall by ways of how the Michael Vick with Philadelphia, they lost the NFC Championship, right?
I believe, yes.
Then you had, I mean, other running quarterbacks. I mean, think about it. How many running quarterbacks won a
Super Bowl? Well, we're talking about running quarterbacks. We're talking about quarterbacks. Because
quarterbacks that can put up a 100-yard rushing game. And there are a handful right now in the league.
Right.
But I think they, again, propping up Pretty Boy Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. They stole the Super Bowl from Hurts last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a running quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had rushing touchdowns, and like, no, we're going to give it to the guy that can pass it and air it out.
Quarterbacky. They needed somebody that was quarterbacky.
because what we want to do is to showcase the new Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, like, to make the snap throw, looking at, like, behind the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of crap that they're writing that they don't want to have these dynamic players showing, like, hey, we don't have to air it out, because they're trying to make this a pass-only league. They don't want the running league. It's not exciting.
I think, yes, he will get a Super Bowl ring. I think he will the team to a Super Bowl ring. The key being, and this could happen actually next season.
Well, I think it has to happen within the next 3 years or it's not going to happen at all.
Oh, yeah, because the whole team dynamic is going to mm-hmm. change. And that's just the nature of the NFL. But saying that, the whole dynamic of the NFL is going to change league-wide. So it's going to be an ebb and flow of different things. Like, how many people thought that the Bengals would make the playoffs this season? You know,
yeah,
sure, you can say, Burrow got hurt, but yeah, that's a part of it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the same thing the Ravens did last year. You know, Lamar was hurt, and they still made the playoffs. So that tells you a lot about the makeup of the team. And the key going into this offseason, lots of free agents, and they're right up against the salary cap. So the key is going to be to try to keep the team together as much as possible, that continuity, and then go from there.
Yeah, but the league doesn't respect true defenses. Ravens have one of the best defenses.
Triple crown winner, first time ever.
Yep,
you have. Or no, I'm sorry, not the first time ever. Please don't get mad. Holy hell. Wasn't the first time ever. I apologize for saying
it. Cleveland, one of the best defenses of the league. But they don't want champions of defense anymore. They don't think that's what
appeals. Defense wins championships is what they say. Who's gonna have the better ever? And we're not gonna get into this in this podcast. We'll get into this next week before the Super Bowl. But just thinking about it, they're gonna go in and say, okay, so the Niners have probably the best front seven.
Yep.
And Kansas City has the best overall defense. So which one is going to be able to stand up?
Well, here's the thing. They still like to say defense wins the championship, man.
Yeah.
But it's going to be one defensive play. It's not the days.
You mean like a punch out on the half yard line?
This Kansas City secondary is the most shutdown secondary in the second half of all games. Like, it's the number one across the board.
Right.
It's like, okay, we can pull some baseball stats for every one of these games.
Yes.
But what it comes down to is you won't have the Bears defense, the Ravens defense. Like, these defenses that hold teams to under 100 yards. Like, that's not what defense wins championships is anymore. It's all right, both teams are gonna score a lot. One team's gonna make one defensive play, and that's gonna be the difference maker.
You know, if you go back and check the box score for the game yesterday, the Ravens defense actually did play very, very well.
Very well. Very well.
And aside from the 11 for 11, 116 and one tutty to Kelsey.
But again,
they played very well.
The script was, hey, you guys go ahead and let Lyle's going to be going down the field. They're going to go up. As long as you guys score on your end, which, like, come on, you guys are the Ravens and your offense is prolific this year.
Yeah. Average 30 points a game.
You guys are going to win this game per the script. And then we're just horrible actors in Baltimore, apparently. Horrible.
There you have it. So that was episode 59. I don't even know what the hell we'll call this. We'll call this The Script Is Written Part 2, because I think our last episode was The Script Is Written. So, that is that. We'll be back next week to talk all about the Super Bowl. I don't even know what it is. LB?
58, right?
LB, LBI, LB1? I don't know. We'll be back to talk about it. We'll be back to talk about it for sure. That is it. Tell everybody good night, Trek.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.